ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey fans, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. I am your host, the Gas Man, and my co-host, Lugs.
Hey everybody.
What? So I guess Lugs is trying to sound a little bit more manly this week.
Went and seen the Avengers. It rubbed off a little bit on me.
Okay, I know what scene you're talking about. That's funny.
If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is a very good movie. It's actually almost cried. Very good movie. So, as always, fan, thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in another week. Thanks for listening to our annoying voices. As always, check us out, WreckingYourRacing.com, WreckingYourRacing@gmail.com. Send us an email, tell us how much we are awesome, how much we suck, yada, yada, yada.
Give us your opinions.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. We want to know your opinions. This show is about you and what your thoughts are, not about all the corporate talking heads of NASCAR.
PC, I believe they call it.
Yeah, it's about
being PC.
It's about you and raw, unfiltered. You know, let us know. You know, we're not scared to hear it. We're not scared to say it.
Scared,
yeah. I'm not scared to say it. This is going to be an interesting week, it sounds like.
Well, I'm sleep deprived. I've been up since 3:30 this morning and some early morning meetings. So I'm a little loopy, a little slap happy, but I'm excited to talk about Dover.
Yeah, Dover. You know, I wasn't excited to talk about Dover after the race, but so much other stuff's happened. So I am excited this week. Last week I was a little down. You know, I apologize if you guys felt my downness last week. This week I'm a little bit better. But you know what? Let's get the week started.
Yeah,
so
lots of headlines.
Yeah,
seems like this has been a crazy season for like mid week, like headline news
and stuff. Yeah absolutely. And that's job security for us, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, as always, check us out on Twitter, Facebook. Stay up to date with news from NASCAR with your Wrecking and Racing crew. As always, as well, starting off with our Busch Beard, official beer of NASCAR. I'm ready to get this show on the road.
Official beer of Wrecking and Racing.
That too, yeah. And trust me, folks, you want us to be drinking these, because if not, we will be dull as hell, more than we already are. So, thanks for tuning in, and let's start talking. So, we're at Dover this week. Usually it's a track I really enjoy. I like watching it. I like racing on video games.
Yeah, fast-paced.
Yeah, but I didn't have that feeling during this race. I did not. There was some passing in the back of the track through the mid-pack on back, but once you got in the clean air, you were gone.
Yeah, not a ton of lead changes.
I don't have the amount of lead changes in front of us. But I don't feel like it was that many. Not like what we're used to. And it's the same old story. It's either, you always hear either Kyle Busch this season or Kevin Harvick, and this was a Kevin Harvick week.
It was.
And it really I know what you're going to say. Go ahead and get it over with.
My pick was Harvick, and he won the race, so.
Who was your dark horse?
Jones, which he did not do so hot.
Okay, so let's see where Jones finished at.
18th.
So, 1 and 18.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to average
it
out.
That's a 9th place average.
But you know what? Picking the winner of the race trumps averages, okay? I'm sorry.
That's nice 9th place
average. You did well, guess
so,
man.
So, yeah, I guessed.
Picking the winner does trump an average, just so you know.
Yeah, I had guessed Elliott and Suarez. Elliott finished 12th, Suarez 3rd, so my average was 7.5. So my averages were a little bit better. I did want to throw that out there. So you can't rub it completely in my face. That is a small victory for me.
We need to have some friendly wager. Whoever picks the most race winners as their number one at the end of the season, you know, get something, or the other has to buy the
maybe
something.
You remember that Kim Kardashian photo shoot where she's like all oiled up in like a trash bag a couple years ago?
No.
The loser can get a body picture posted on Twitter.
That is a very random thing for you to select.
I seen it done somewhere else. I thought it was funny. So I stole that idea from somewhere else.
Pass. Hard pass on that one.
We'll come up with something.
All right.
So, okay, you're ahead 1-0 over me. I will give you that.
All right.
For victories, not for averages, for victories. I'm like a Terry Labonte. I get little victories, hey, but a lot of averages.
You ain't first or last, right?
Okay, thanks, Ricky Bobby. So, Harvick wins, kind of pretty much dominated the race. Was there really any other storylines during the race?
Well, I mean, aside from Larson, he won all three rounds of qualifying and then got the pole. And had a good start in the back. I mean, that was kind of a huge setback for him. I was really interested to know how he would have fared if he would have retained his starting position, but he had some pre-race inspections, so they delegated him to start in the back along with Austin Dillon. So,
He kept getting... I mean, he was like 3 laps down at one point.
Yeah, he had some other issues come up, but I'm just kind of bummed about that. Like, the one person I thought me able to get up there and tussle with Harvick and Bush for once, and he, you know, was already starting out behind, so
yeah,
never really got to see kind of anything materialize out of that. But
and I'm sure Bush is kind of glad the race was over when it was, because I mean, he kind of was having a bad day, wasn't really anything great, and they ended up breaking drive shafts.
Yep.
And he ended up finishing, I think it was like 35th.
Yeah,
he still leads the points, though. He's still leading the points by 20. Like 20 points, I think it is.
You know, something I caught interesting, though, I was watching like Radioactive on Race Hub, your favorite show, and they were playing the audio back, and it was like 50 to 75 laps into the race, and Kyle called it. He said, there's something wrong with the car. He's like, we're not going to make it this whole race. And he ended up not, you know. I don't know. I thought that driver's intuition.
Yeah, they say it's a big deal.
Yeah.
The driver's kid, like, knows the littlest aspects of their cars.
And he called it, and it happened. So, man, you know, hate to give the guy props.
Right.
But he gets them there because he knew.
Yeah, good. I mean, good that Kyle was able to call that. You know, unfortunately, I'm not the big, as we discovered on several episodes, I'm not the biggest Kyle Busch fan. But you do hate to see a guy have to take it to the garage early because of mechanical failures. You know, if he's an idiot and he wrecks into the wall for some of his own doings, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But mechanical failures do suck. And the aspect that they had no control over that.
Yeah, for anybody. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So every week, it seems like we're talking about Stuart Haas, the dominance of Stuart Haas racing, a little bit of Kyle Busch. Not really Joe Gibbs, just Kyle Busch for the most part. And we keep talking about the struggles of Chevy.
Yep.
Our top finishing Chevy was what?
Johnson in ninth, I believe it was.
Yeah, you're right. That's what it was. Johnson in ninth.
Larson came home 10th, so.
Which is a good rebound for where he was, but still, it's
getting their butts kicked.
Very disappointing
for the Camaro.
Did you see
the video that Dylan posted afterwards, after the race?
I did not. Tell me about it.
He basically, on Periscope, he live streamed and basically said, you know, I hate it. Chevy is getting their asses kicked, but he vows that they're going to right the ship.
Are they going to do that by cheating?
No.
I'm just curious because he got busted this week.
He did. So that's the sad point is, you know what? I think if you don't finish in the top 20 and your car doesn't pass post-race inspection, I don't think you need a penalty because it didn't really pay, you know,
dividends
worth,
for
exactly,
him.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, like, I think if you can't even crack the top 20 when your car didn't meet post-race inspection, you should just get a pass on that.
Well, since we brought that up, let's talk about that real quick. Kind of hot off the presses is the penalties for this weekend. So we'll start off with the Monster Energy Series. So we already discussed Austin Dillon. Austin, his penalty was for the splitter did not meet rule specifications. His fine was a $25,000 fine, and the car chief, Greg Ebert, was suspended for one race.
Mm.
And yeah. I like you said, he finished 26th. So not he as in Austin, but the team was outside the regulations within the NASCAR rule limits,
mm-hmm.
and they still only managed a 26th place finish.
Not even on the lead lap. So, I mean, it's like, come on.
If you're going to make it count, right?
Yeah.
Go big or go home.
Canouse it.
Exactly.
That's the phrase I like to use.
Sure. And then there's two other Monster Energy teams that we're going to talk about. This one, to me, is a little sad and disappointing. I mean, it doesn't really have a big impact, is Clint Bowyer. failed rear window support structure.
Where have we heard that before?
Yeah, his teammate.
Harvick at Vegas, exactly.
Yeah, so maybe there's a team thing going on. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to pass judgment or make assumptions. Just what we've seen, just an observation.
Yeah. And Bowyer finished second and was in the position to win the race before the rain came. And then when they restarted the race, his car was just too loose and Harvick got by him. But
Car chief Jerry Cook, 2-race suspension, loss of 20 driver points and 20 owner points. Mm-hmm. And this one is also very sad, just because he had such a good run, was Daniel Suarez, finished third in the race. Mm-hmm. Rear window not flush to deck lid. $50,000 fine to the crew chief, 2-race suspension for the car chief, and 20 points loss for driver and owner.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, you know, Bowyer finished second, and Suarez finished third. You know, there's always going to be people out there that think, oh, those, whatever they cheated on, that's how they got those finishes. Whether it contributed to those finishes or not, I'm not going to debate that. But again, I feel like if your car didn't pass post-race inspection and you don't crack the top 20, you get a pass. If you want to penalize someone that finishes second and third for not meeting post-race, fine, but...
But it's not really that big of a deal for Bowyer, just for the fact that he's locked into the chase with his victory.
Yeah, he's got to win, but...
Suarez, on the other hand, that could be pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Suarez, before that penalty, was sitting in 17th in points. Basically, one position out of the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's 20th.
Yeah.
So that's a big hit for him. Big deal. Big deal, definitely. So hopefully next week those teams are a little bit better. You know, their noses are clean. Their car chiefs are going to be gone, but I think they'll still be just fine, probably.
So that actually drops him to 20th.
Yeah, that's what I was, 17th to 20th.
I didn't catch that. So, that's
you're not paying attention to your co-host.
I wasn't. I was too busy trying to see where he was. I didn't even listen to what you said. So, 20th. That stings a little bit. And then, so what, that also takes Bowyer. Did that impact Bowyer? I mean, I know he's got the win and locked in.
He dropped
him
from 4th to 5th.
Yeah, so.
But it really didn't do anything. Yeah. Didn't really do anything. Now, we usually talk mainly about the Monster Energy Series. We don't really give the Xfinity Series enough love.
So yeah, we should do better about that.
Yeah, I agree. And for the fans listening, we apologize. You know, we definitely have lots of respect for those guys.
Yeah, and I watched that series. I failed and haven't really brought it up too much. But I do have a question on it for you this week.
Sure.
Guess me, but we'll get to that. So.
No, you want to go ahead? We want to switch over to the Xfinity Series?
Go ahead.
The Monster Energy Series pretty much done. Harvick dominated, Harvick won. There wasn't a lot of storylines for the race itself, other than the penalties that came after the fact.
True.
So now let's move on to the Xfinity Series.
So, kind of a nail-biter, if anybody didn't see it, go YouTube it, because it was pretty cool, last two or three laps there. So
between Justin Allgaier and Elliott Sadler?
Yes, Junior Motorsports teammates there were racing for the win down to the wire there. So Allgaier had it, was, you know, trying to protect the win, and Sadler gave it all he had. He had a good run in that last lap and closed the gap, and they made contact coming out of 4, and they both kicked it sideways and got into the wall, and you know, it was kind of like a old school Darlington Craven Bush a little bit,
right?
There wasn't that much drama or that close of a finish, but it was cool to see.
It's still fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's be honest, this season's not been full of those moments like that.
Mm-mm.
But the Xfinity Series has been, to me, more exciting than the Monster Energy Series this year.
I think that's a valid point that you could argue, absolutely.
The races that the Cup drivers are not in it tend to be more exciting.
No, that's exactly where my question is leading.
Oh, okay.
You want to go ahead and ask
it? Yeah, go ahead and ask your question.
So, the last 4 weeks of the Xfinity Series races have all been the Dash for Cash Series. So, saying that, in the Dash for Cash races, Cup drivers are ineligible to compete in those. Should that be the rule on every Xfinity race? Should there be no Cup drivers in the Xfinity races whatsoever? This has been a debate for, you know, years and years and years, and especially over the last few, and also the Truck Series with Kyle Busch coming in and winning a lot of the races. So, you know, these last 4 weeks have proved it. There's been good racing, there's been good finishes, and there's been no Cup drivers. We've had new winners, first-time winners, So what's your point on that? Do you think they should be allowed? Should it be a certain amount of races? What do you think?
So I know they went to a limited number of races this year.
Yes.
Me personally, it's in my opinion, and I could be completely wrong. Here is my thought process on this and what I would like to see. You have your week in, week out front running contenders, Harvick, Busch, whoever, going to the lower level. And I get that it kind of gives a little exposure for the Xfinity Series drivers to be able to race those guys, compare, you know, apples to apples kind of on their skill set versus the veteran skill set.
Sure.
I don't like it, though. Here is what I think NASCAR and whoever might own NASCAR in the future, we'll get there in a little bit, what they should possibly do. If you're in the top 20 in points, you are excluded from racing Xfinity. If you're in the bottom half of the standings, 21st or lower, you can race in as many Xfinity races as you want.
21st or lower. Okay, okay.
And the reason why I say that is maybe those guys in the back part of the Cup Series, maybe they are younger drivers. Maybe they are more inexperienced drivers.
And they need that.
The extra time behind the wheel might help them out.
Okay,
I think that's
that.
A...
valid argument.
Yeah, I think that's a compromise that might possibly work.
Yeah. And saying that, if you look at the current point standings after the penalties, Menard, 21st, he sometimes races in Xfinity. Bubba Wallace, sometimes, including this weekend at Kansas, is racing in the Xfinity race. McMurray sometimes races in Xfinity. So you kind of got a little bit of hard evidence there to back up your clause. But, of course, you know, there's plenty of drivers in the top 20 that do race those Xfinity races, like Blaney and Logano and Keselowski and whatnot. So I think that your bigger races, you know, the Indy race and Daytona, open those races up. Open those races up to the stars. Those are your crown jewels. Make the younger drivers work for that. You know, get it, but maybe limit them to 4 to 6 races a season, and specific races. Not let the drivers pick what races, but NASCAR says, okay, this Xfinity race is open to Cup drivers.
You want to bring some excitement to it? So you have, let's say you allow 4 veteran drivers, Monster Energy drivers, per Xfinity race, and they have to do a qualifying session out of that to gather those 4 spots.
So say there's 12 Monster Energy drivers that want to compete in the Xfinity.
Then we take the top four.
Yeah, could bring a new dynamic.
Yeah,
there.
Just something to kind of change it up a little bit. That might be, it may not be exciting, but it might bring a little excitement.
Bring some cost to it. I could say that, I guess.
I guess. I mean,
because if they're preparing cars. Or, you know, if the Cup drivers didn't make it, is there going to be a second tier Xfinity driver that would then step in the car?
Oh, that's a good point.
So, a couple things to think about there. Not necessarily bad ideas, but things to toy with.
Sure. Yeah. I just think that I personally am against allowing the Cup guys just dominate every weekend. I like the limitations. I like dialing back a little bit.
Unless they're 21st or worse in the Cup Series points.
Then, yeah, I just think that that person would show that they obviously need more.
Seat time.
Yeah.
Okay. Valid argument.
Any other questions in regards to Xfinity?
No, but I know you've got a couple penalties in it to announce in that series.
Yeah, so interesting aspect. So in the Cup Series, you had the number 3 Austin Dillon team and from Richard Childress Racing. In the Xfinity Series, or like I call it because official beer in NASCAR, the Busch Series, still, I mean, that's kind of what our old school thought process is.
Shows our age.
Yeah, it does. What was it before Busch? It was the Grand National Series. Yes, thank you. So anyway, I'm sorry, I digressed a little bit. The number 3 Richard Childress car in the Xfinity Series also got in trouble. That one was for splitter did not meet rule specifications. Let me go back. Austin Dillon, number 3 in the Monster Energy Series penalty was for splitter did not meet rule specifications.
And we saw it again.
Then the number 3 Xfinity car, splitter did not meet rule specifications. So, and crew chief suspended or excuse me, car chief suspended for one race. The bigger hit would be the winner of the race, Justin Allgaier. Rear suspension and trailing arm angles, pinion angle, shims violation. $25,000 fine. Two-race suspension to crew chief Justin, excuse me, Jason Burdett. Loss of 25 owner points, 25 driver points.
Mm-hmm.
Won the race, but the word we're not using is encumbered, but that win was encumbered.
Yeah, the actual win itself does not count towards the, you know, qualifying for the chase.
Correct. But the weird, strange thing is NASCAR...
Which before you go on, like, what's the point of just doing away with the word encumbered? If they're still going to take the win away, I mean, what are they...
I think it's because of the word. Why do they call it, like, win degradation or something?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's just like, okay, yeah, you're not going to use the terminology, but you're still going to take the win away?
Yeah, I mean, it's still there. It's just not using the word encumbered.
Same outcome, exactly.
So it's funny because all these people are griping about the word encumbered. If you looked on Twitter today, that word was everywhere today.
Because
if people are like, whoa, just because of lack of description, I'm going to go ahead and use encumbered. Even though last year I complained about using the word encumbered.
Yeah, now they're using it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what I was getting to was the Dash for Cash. Justin Allgaier won the Dash for Cash, $100,000.
I'm assuming he gets to keep that money, right?
NASCAR say he's able to keep it.
But they're going to take the win away.
But they're going to take the win away. So what... To me, that's a little counterproductive, a little backwards.
I don't...
Fans, you're listening, would you write us? Tell us your opinion on it.
Should he be able to keep the win and lose the money, vice versa, both, one or the other? Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, it just seems a little awkward to me. Maybe not awkward, just different. I mean, just we're talking about, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, where they penalized the guy. I can't remember who it was now, darn it, sorry. They penalized the guy. They're going to take his Dash for Cash away. They moved the guy. Was it Hemric?
Hemric, wasn't it? Or Gallagher. I think it was... Wasn't it Gallagher?
I don't think it was Gallagher. Which, whoever it was, I can't... Unfortunately, my memory's not that great. But they moved up the Joe Gibbs guy, and then they called him up and said, never mind, you're not in the Dash for Cash, so we're not going to penalize this person. But they were going to take it for whatever small penalty this was. They were going to take him out of the running for it. But yet, they let Justin Allgaier keep it? To me, that just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense. Yeah. Oh, well... You know, so much for that. I mean, we can't complain about it so much. I mean, let's just talk about the... I mean, we're kind of griping about NASCAR right now being inconsistent. Let's just continue that trend about NASCAR. So this week was some very interesting, upsetting, maybe exciting, depending on your aspect, news. Lugs, why don't you tell me about that news this week?
Sorry, I was Googling. That was really driving me bonkers, so I was trying to find out who that driver was. That was going to burn deep into my soul if I didn't get the answer right away.
Did you find it?
It was Hemric.
It was Hemric,
so they took it away from Brandon Jones.
Yes,
yeah,
okay.
And gave it back to Hemric, so...
I'm glad you pay so much attention to your co-host.
Sorry. Man, I was on a mission to get the answer. You should be proud of that.
Yeah, I am proud of that. You actually made me proud once.
All right, so what's the what was the new topic in question?
So, about the interesting news coming from about NASCAR this week. And now, it's news because it really broke this week, but I said this a couple weeks ago that I had heard rumors about this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had, yeah.
And what is this I'm talking about?
Potentially NASCAR being up for sale, or they're scouting potential, you know, buyers.
Exactly. They're teaming up with Goldman Sachs to try to find potential suitors. They're talking about over $5 billion
Gauge
to buy.
Interest, yeah. Which, if it went for that, would be more than what F1 sold for a few years ago.
That's not surprising. I'm not a big F1 fan.
But F1's global and NASCAR's not, so that's really saying something.
Hey,
if they
we
do
have
get that amount of money.
22% of our listeners come from Australia. 3% from Spain. We're global. NASCAR is global. All right. Hey, you guys are listening to a world-renowned podcast right now.
Maybe not renowned, but we are global. I will say that.
So NASCAR selling the series potentially. Let's just use the word potentially because we don't know for sure, even though we all know that's going to happen. One is, think it's going to be an investment firm? Do you think it's just going to be a billionaire? Think it's going to be a corporation of some sort? I say it's going to be some sort of hedge firm investment firm.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'll obviously take it, try to revamp it, spin it, modify it, alternate it, do whatever they can to bring it back to closer to
its to where it's cash cow again.
Yeah, yeah. Somehow, I mean, let's face it. I mean, we don't know the workings of the ins and outs of NASCAR and what kind of money it makes and stuff like that. You can look at the earnings and all that good stuff, but I mean, it could be argued that it's becoming a little stale and it needs
I think we've been making that argument every week on this show.
Yeah, and it needs some fresh air, and I think that an investor could do just that. And you know, I was seeing on Twitter all of these fans were up in arms saying how this was terrible and they shouldn't sell it and all this
stuff. I'm not 100% sold it's a terrible thing.
Yeah, no.
And I mean, mentioned that a couple weeks ago. I mean, you've had private conversations about this.
Yeah, there was even some fans that were like so upset mentioning the fact that they were going to like buy it and then end NASCAR. Like,
why would somebody would somebody spend that kind of money?
I don't understand some fans' like thought process or logic, cuz why would someone spend $4 to $5 billion on something and then just shelve it and not do anything with it? I mean, that's silly. So I mean, I think whoever gets it is definitely going to breathe some new fresh air in it. Obviously you have to,
and they need to do something, shake up the status quo a little bit. You know, there's a couple things that other people have mentioned, like Kevin Harvick, that I think are fantastic ideas. Rotating the championship race to other tracks.
Yeah, they should have done that. Well, at least the All-Star, yeah, yeah. For
sure. Maybe once a year throw in a retro track. Throw in a Hickory, a Riverside. Rockingham.
I don't think Riverside exists anymore. But.
Probably not, but throw in one of those old tracks that people remember.
Yeah.
And then not only are you bringing back that retro memory lane race for fans and drivers, you're also bringing NASCAR back to the grassroots, to the small communities, to the true fans of the sport. People like us. We're small town people, Lugs.
Yeah, I think Riverside, actually, now that I think about it, it's a mall now. So we can that one off the list.
Yeah, but there's plenty of other options.
But yeah, absolutely. Wilkesboro, I mean, even Rockingham brings, you know, anything like that.
So definitely a change up, like I said, the status quo, change up the game a little bit. More short tracks possibly, different sponsors, you know, bringing a different image and branding to the sport that maybe that we need. We as a society are moving into the 21st century. Everything's computerized, everything's digital, blah, blah, blah. NASCAR's still kind of, you know, they're trying a little bit, but it's like your granddad learning to text.
Well, and it's also interesting that it kind of, you know, this is coming out after we now know that Monster signed a one-year extension. And I'd heard that at that time, after Monster signed a one-year, everyone was like, you know, why not more? Why not this? Why not that? And then we started to hear that NASCAR was okay with the 1 year because they were going to look at maybe potential other ways to get revenue into the sport. And, you know, looking back, 2020, hindsight, kind of,
2020 maybe. Hindsight, you're right. 2020 is when all the changes are going to happen. Actually, it's 2019. But
you know, maybe this plays into the reason there it was a 1 year. So maybe they don't want to
true
too far off maybe, the horizon.
It may become 2020. Maybe it's going to be the Monster NASCAR Monster Energy series, like legitimately, like not just the name, but maybe Monster will own the series. I don't think they will, but I mean, just saying it, you never know. Mm-hmm. It could be the Red Bull Racing series. They like to stick their nose into. I mean, they already tried NASCAR once.
Yeah.
But they tried to buy up series.
Drink Red Bull anymore?
It gives people wings.
Drinking Red Bulls anymore?
Only when I drink Jaeger. Even then, it's limited. Yeah, I do like Jaeger. Leave me alone.
Heard it pairs well with hot dogs.
Oh, inside story. If you're really curious about that story, fans, emails, wreckingracing@gmail.com, I'd be happy to tell you all about it. My wife might kill me. It doesn't matter because I doubt she listens to the show anyway. But
we'll find out if she does.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have something to say about that. Anyways, moving on. What else do you got for us? Let's see. After anything else about the sale of NASCAR, any more things you want to talk about there?
No, I just think, well, I mean, we'll have to see how it plays out. I mean, it definitely brings a different aspect to the table, but I definitely think it could potentially be a decent thing, a good thing. We'll just have to see how it plays out. I don't know. It's kind of hard to judge it, you know, prematurely like this, but we'll just have to see.
Yeah, like anything, see what the outcome is with it.
So talk about series changes and stuff like that. Truck series. Did you hear about the news in the truck series?
I did. Got a little rebranding, name rebranding going on.
Yeah, it's the same company, and maybe some people may not know this or understand that. So Camping World Truck Series is owned. The Camping World is owned by the same guy who bought out Gainer Mountain. Gainer Mountain pretty much went bankrupt. The guy who owns Camping World bought out Gainer Mountain and renamed it Gainer Outdoors. Kind of a rebranding of it. So the Truck Series is switching from Camping World Series Truck Series to Gainer Outdoors Truck Series. So he's just taking it. He's investing money and he's taking it from one company of his to another. So, I mean, from the aspects, it makes sense. Here's my problem with it. The guy, I can't remember his name now, that owns Gainer Outdoors and Camping World Truck Series, a couple months ago made the comment he does not want Trump supporters shopping in his stores.
Yeah, yeah.
Way to alienate your fans. You know, I mean, if you're going to be branding
and...
Yeah,
I think most of them exactly are.
And it doesn't matter if you're a Trump fan or not. Let's just say there's a good chance 50% of the fan base is a Trump supporter, just by law of averages.
Yeah.
50%. So you just literally alienated 50% of your potential market by saying stuff like that. So I hate when people put the political aspect into sports like that. Yeah. It drives me nuts. Football, same thing. I hate it.
I do wonder how much that impacted... his business model and you know revenue and sales and all that. I would be curious to know what the ultimate impact was. Was it minimal? Was it decent? I mean,
we try not to alienate our fans here. We try to not alienate what drivers they may like. We're a fan of the sport. We're going to treat it that way. We may say things occasionally about certain drivers, but overall, we're here for the sport.
Yeah, we want to see the fan succeed. And
people who run their damn companies need to be the same way. They need to be a little bit more open-minded and just take people for what they are. They're your customers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't alienate them. So anyway, that's my big PA for today. That's just or PSA.
Get off your soapbox.
Yeah, I'll get off my soapbox. But anyway, that's my 2 cents on that. Hey, good news. We had another NASCAR baby.
Oh yeah, Kyle Larson.
Yeah, Audrey Lynn, something like that. Anyway.
Oh, so you can get the royal baby's name right.
Of course.
But Kyle Larson's baby's chopped liver?
Isla Rose Earnhardt, yeah.
Jeez.
So
you probably already followed on Twitter too, don't you?
If she had an account, I would.
Oh, you done searched for one, didn't you?
So congratulations to...
Do you have an Isla tattoo as well?
No, I don't have a damn tattoo. So anyway,
you do have tattoos.
I do. Okay, I have tattoos. As we discussed last week, no Bowman tattoos, no Dell Jr. tattoos, no racing tattoos at all. I'm not going to discuss what they are. Okay.
If you want to know, email us.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make that bet. If you're listening now, email us reckoningracing@gmail.com. I will send you a picture of my tattoos.
You may not want that, fans.
It's not. No. It's on my arm, okay? One arm, two tattoos. I guess you call it two tattoos. It's either two or five.
I've been up too long today.
Obviously. So anyway, congratulations to Kyle Larson on his second child. And other news, Mama Earnhardt. Did you hear anything on Twitter or see anything on Twitter about Mama Earnhardt?
Who?
Mama Earnhardt.
Who's that?
Dale Jr.'s grandma.
No.
She stopped by to see Isla Rose, and she made the comment to Dale Jr. that she's really happy Harvick is winning.
Oh,
she
yeah.
is a Harvick fan.
Oh.
So no pressure to Kevin Harvick, right? That the second coming of Jesus' grandmother is a fan and follower of him.
Harvick?
Yeah. And the reason why, she said that after Dale died, Kevin took over the car. So she's been rooting for Harvick since day one in the Cup Series.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Good. Like you said, it is pressure on Harvick, but... You know,
makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, it's a pretty cool little story. So, a couple of good stories to go with a couple of bad stories. You know, kind of even it out a little bit. So this week we named this episode "Bring the Fight to Dover." You know why?
Are you getting choked up there?
I am. I have a
like your
cat in my throat.
Like you were a cat. I've heard
frog.
Of a frog, but never a cat.
Cat's got my tongue. That's what I meant to say. Shut up, man. So, bring the fight to Dover. It was, you know, we can go a whole year not really talking about fights in NASCAR. We had two doozies this week. And one of them is not really a NASCAR, but it's a racing series. But we'll start off with the actual NASCAR-related one, the Xfinity series. A disgruntled crew member and a team owner were having a discussion that turned into an altercation in the infield at Dover. Did you hear or see the news on this?
Yeah, not really, no.
All right, so I'll kind of do a quick breakdown for you. So it's JP Motorsports, in the Xfinity series, drivers Steven Light and Josh Balicki. Josh, you know, we've talked on Twitter before.
Josh tweeted us, yeah.
Yeah, hey Josh, you know what's up? Hope your owner's doing okay. The owner is Jerry Hadaway. So Jerry and a team member, a crew member, Lawrence Hayden, were having a discussion about employment. From there, I really don't know. The story really didn't go in much more detail other than that. That led into an altercation that ended up with Lawrence punching Jerry multiple times in the face and breaking his jaw.
Mm. Ouch.
A little crazy thing.
But don't want to punch the team owner.
Yeah, not only do you want to punch him, you don't want to break his damn jaw. Yeah. I mean, I understand if you know, throwing a fist, you get really mad or whatever. One, you shouldn't do that to your boss. And two is, grow up a little bit, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Breaking his jaw? Come on, man.
Anger management classes.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's kind of disgusting in a way.
Mm-hmm.
A little excitement, but it's kind of just bad juju.
And then there was another one, right?
Yeah, there was another fight. So, a alternate series in NASCAR is called a Cars Touring Series. In that, do you remember Dennis Setzer?
I do.
I think it's his son. His name is Brandon Setzer. So, going into the last lap of this race, a Kyle Busch Motorsports driver, Raphael Lazard, was leading. Brandon Setzer comes from behind and kind of just nudges him a little bit, just enough to get him up in the corner for him to go under him.
Was this televised? Is there like video?
There actually is video online under Cars Tours TV.
Okay.
So there is actually online, because I didn't know anything about it until I heard about it and I researched and found the video. So it was just your typical NASCAR racing type move. I mean, literally, he just barely touched him with the bumper, just enough to wiggle him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Goes around him. This Kyle Busch Motorsports punk, I don't call him a punk right now. So Raphael Lazard, if you're listening, you're a punk. If you can't handle that, then you don't need to be racing, son. So he comes back and completely just bullnoses over Setzer in the next corner. I mean, he completely takes him out.
Sounds like so, Kyle Busch driver.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, kind of like owner-like driver, yeah.
Kind of like what Kyle Busch did to Ron Hornaday a couple years in the truck series.
So Setzer kind of goes up, hits the wall, whatever. A car goes around Lazard and Setzer. And Lazard ends up hitting that car, too, and spinning that car out as well. So, the race, you know, they have caution. This series can't finish under caution. So, anyway, they penalized Lazard, moved him to the back of the pack or whatever. He ended up finishing, I think, 14th, and Setzer finished 13th, okay? So, basically took them both out of the race.
Right. Sounds like it.
So, I know I'm taking a little long time here, and I apologize, folks. So, they go into the pits. You just see Setzer pull his car into the pit. He gets out. He runs straight for Lazard's crew. Before he even gets there, a crew member of Lazard's team comes up and shoves him. And then a county sheriff deputy come out of nowhere, chokeholds Setzer, slams him to the ground.
Dang.
And crazy.
And all he was doing was running up?
He was running like he was going to beat up or fight Raphael. Okay. So a couple of things on this is that one is our fights uncommon in NASCAR? Not really. Mm-hmm. It happens. Boys will be boys, right?
It's not a weekly thing, but yeah.
Yeah. So where I can understand the sheriff's deputy stepping in and trying stopping it, but literally chokeholding him and slamming him to the ground. Crazy.
Is that part of the video too?
There was a video. Now, when we talk about video of this, the video is being deleted across the internet by Cars Tour. So we'll go a little further into this, which makes this even more crazier. So, the Cars Tour TV, the series itself, was posting these videos on their website, on their Twitter account, etc., showing the excitement, right? Then they deleted all that mysteriously, and then they suspended Brandon Setzer for the rest of the season.
Really?
What the hell is wrong with them?
Wow.
And he didn't even touch this Rafael Azar guy. So
he's the one that got wrecked.
He's the one that got wrecked.
Yeah.
And it got, because he ran towards his crew.
And he's the one.
And got chokehold slammed. He got suspended.
Wow.
Is that not crazy?
That is pretty crazy.
So check out the video if you can find it online. Definitely strange. That Rafael kid should get more done. If they're going to be that strict, I mean, I don't think anything should be done to either one of them. I think that Lesarge got some lessons to be learned, needs to mature a little bit, and an ass whooping may not, you know, may go a long way for him. But what I'm getting to is that the inconsistency, at least it seemed like inconsistency to me, of this whole event is why wouldn't you go ahead and penalize Lesarge as well?
You would think so. Yeah, absolutely.
Is it because he's a Kyle Busch racer? Has that got some pull?
I would.
It's a smaller series, so having a big name like Kyle Busch backing it, it's kind of a big deal. But I just think it's an egg in their face for that series.
Yeah, I don't know what their motive is there. They, you know, maybe there's something we're missing. I don't know.
No, no. We'll see how it plans out. I'm sure we'll hear more about it. Definitely take a look at it. It's interesting. I don't really have any other news this week. Let me throw it towards you, Lugs, to see if you have anything. You tend to come up with questions and news that I didn't see or I didn't know about. That's one thing that makes this show dynamic and great is that we don't share our notes with each other.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We don't know what each other's going to talk about, etc. So it kind of throws each one of us off guard a little bit at times. So it makes for the great dynamic of the show.
Yeah, so I do have a couple of things here, and I apologize if some of this kind of goes full circle and, you know, rehashes something we may have already talked about. But, so going back to Harvick being, you know, the race winner this weekend, right? So four races he's won this season. Is Harvick in the prime of his life? Is he the best that he's ever been right now?
Hmm. I think you would have to say yes, just because there's no evidence to prove otherwise.
I would agree. I think he is. I think he is.
It's hard to think that 40-something-year-old guy is in the prime.
That's his 41st win.
41st win, and he's, what, 42?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's hard to... usually, you talk about prime is early 30s.
Yeah.
For a NASCAR driver. So, hey, you know what? All power to him. Maybe it's the next Harry Gant.
How long do you see him racing for, realistically?
At least 5 more years.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
When he makes you feel young. It does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, it's kind of the fountain of youth, if there is one, absolutely. So that's pretty much it on just Harvick. But I do want to mention the fact that, so obviously Harvick and Busch, it's kind of been one or the other a lot this season, right? So they have combined to win, where'd my stat go here? 7 out of 11 wins. So over 50% of the wins.
Yeah, and I don't see that changing a whole lot.
I don't either. So, does something need to be tweaked, or is this just like any other season where you have, you know, a few drivers that are just in their prime and good equipment? And
I don't know if that they're even so much in their prime as in their team's found something.
Mm-hmm.
The whole dynamic NASCAR nowadays is finding that one thing that gives you an edge over the other team.
So, do you remember back in, I would say late 90s, but more so I think I remember it being in the early 2000s where, like, particularly I remember this coming from Ford, but they were really upset when Chevy was just dominating.
And oh, yeah. Talking about going to the wind tunnel, talking about the engine performance.
Yeah, lobby for rules changes.
Yeah,
or that
Jack Roush is real bad about that.
That they needed, you know, they needed some sort of a step up or help or something like that. So, you don't really hear about that too much anymore. Most of the manufacturers now, they'll say it like we're getting our butts kicked, or you know we're down, or we got to go back to work. But you don't hear
the only driver you hear say anything is Brad Keselowski, and he said it several times last year, but you don't hear it this year.
He can't say it this year, even though he's not winning. Ford has got something.
Exactly.
So, you know that.
That's Kyle Busch's BFF, by the way.
Oh yeah, best friends. But that being said, so is it just those teams have found something, or do you think something needs to be tweaked? I mean, we've already talked about Chevy not running great, but
I think those teams just have found that one thing. Whatever that one thing might be, they found
it. Yeah, yeah. I would agree with that. I don't think at this point you can't be playing favorites.
If there's only Ford and no Toyota involved, I would kind of say, hey, maybe we should look into something. But Kyle Busch has been almost right there with Harvick.
Yeah.
So that's two of the three manufacturers. That's 66%.
But Chevy has one win.
That's
so all of Chevy's combined laps this season, Harvick alone has led more laps than all Chevy drivers combined.
Harvick alone has probably led as much laps as like 78% of the field.
I mean, probably, but that's an interesting fact. But let me point this out too. So we talked about Camaro. Are they going to get it turned around? Highest finishing Chevy was Jimmy in ninth. So let me give you this piece of information as each week I kind of have some sort of a stat. So in 2017, the Camry didn't get off to setting the world on fire out of the gate. They had two wins in their first 17 races.
And were those both Busch?
They were actually, I believe, Truex.
Oh, yeah,
I'd
okay.
I have to go back and confirm that. You're but probably I'm pretty right confident they were Truex. But they went on to win 14 of the season's last 19 races. Could we see something like that with Chevrolet?
No. I think they'll win some races. I don't think they'll be that kind of dominant.
Yeah. I will say this, like, even though Camry or the Toyotas didn't win that many races through the first 17 races of 2016, they were a lot more, I'm sorry, 2017, they were a lot more consistent than what Chevy's.
Yeah, I'm sure they were a lot more top 10 than what Chevy's putting out right now.
Unless Chevy just finds a treasure full of gold and trip and smash their faces in it.
How many Chevys are in top 10 of points?
I don't know. You got the stats in front of you.
Yeah, one.
Which is what?
Larson at 10th. At 10th. Yeah. So he's barely in the top 10. Now, right outside of top 10, you've got several. You got pretty much a whole Hendrick team.
Hey, did you notice Elliott moved into the top 16 this week?
Yeah, Elliott's 15th. Let's see. Larson's 10th. Johnson's 12th. Bowman's 14th. Elliott, 15th.
So Elliott's.
And if Elliott didn't have his penalty, where would he be at? So he'd be right behind Johnson. He'd be in 13th.
So good to see him getting a rebound, though, from all those points infractions, I guess. Back in the top 16 now. So.
Byron's 18th. Just kind of compare rookies since we're talking about points real quick. And manufacturers, Chevys especially. Byron's 18th and Bubba is 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Both driving Chevys.
Yeah. So that being said, most wins in the first 11 races, Harvick is on that list out of six people. Do you know who the others are? Drivers who have the most amount of wins in the first 11 races, who do you think number one is?
Petty?
Nope.
Gordon?
Yes.
That's why you brought the damn stat up.
Yeah, you brought up Earnhardt's stats last week, so I'm going to bring up Gordon's stats this week. You know who's not on this list?
All right,
gotta edit that.
No, it's okay. We'll keep it. I don't think anybody's going to hear what I just said.
Yeah, they definitely did. Harvick, okay, so Gordon's first. He has five wins in 1997 through the first 11 races. So take a second to think about that. Harvick is the most recent for this year, 2018. Most recent after that would be Johnson with four in 2007, Wallace with four in 93, Bill Elliott four in 92, and Waltrip with four in 89. So just an interesting piece of information there.
It's not about how you start the season, it's about how you finish the season.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay. Yes. So remember that. We'll talk about stats later in the season, about the end of the season. Okay?
Okay.
I'm sure it'll work in my favor, buddy.
I'm sure you'll dig something up. So let's see here. What else do we have here? So this weekend we've got Kansas coming up, night race.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Lots of speed.
Yeah, should be exciting. I mean, Kansas has
multiple grooves.
Yeah, Kansas has been a pretty interesting track over the years. Debut for Matt Kenseth.
Yeah, Roush coming back.
Number six, taking over for Bain. Expectations there.
Top 15.
Top 15.
I'd be happy with the top 15 run. Yeah,
okay. And I think that's. that's attainable with mm-hmm. the way Stenhouse has been running. Stenhouse led laps at Dover.
Yeah, in the Hugs car.
Yeah, yeah, it was a Hugs car.
Brings back some memories.
Does it?
Did you ever have those Hugs when you were a kid?
Probably did. You know, I can't really remember, so.
You weren't poor like I was. Pull that little aluminum foil off the top, drink those little barrels.
Off your pop?
Yeah, off my pop, that's right. So, folks, Mr. Lugs here, we've known each other for a long time, and he's given me hell my whole life for calling my soda. I called it pop growing up. I'm sure.
So, email us, did you call it pop or yeah. soda or
you know
Coke?
What? Hey, you know what, Mr. Media Guru over there? Mm-hmm. Why don't you put a poll up on our Twitter?
I should do. No, I'm going to put it on Facebook.
Put it on Facebook. Put the.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, but let's hear from the fans on that.
I think it's probably going to be geographically, you know, separated there. So
yeah, I'm from the South.
I've seen some studies. I think pop's yeah more Southern. So, anyways, so really got off on a tangent there. But so last week we talked about Spencer Gallagher, right? He
yes
partied yeah. a little too hard.
He
after
partied
his,
like it was 1999.
After his Talladega race.
Yeah.
He
spent daddy's money on the Allegiant Air team.
He was banned, admitted to the Road to Recovery program through NASCAR, which apparently says you cannot spend any time at any NASCAR-sanctioned events. So there was a tire test this week.
Now they don't ARCA, so that's a little kick in the...
There was a tire test this week at Charlotte for the Xfinity drivers, and Mr. Gallagher showed up. And was asked to leave. He was basically kicked out. Yeah, said when you're basically, you know, expelled from NASCAR for violating that policy, even though you're seeking the help in the Road to Recovery program, he was kicked out. So thought that was interesting. A little side note, want to bring that up. Brendan Poole was actually the substitute driver for that 23 car during the tire test. Brendan Poole hasn't started a race since the Homestead finale last year.
Huh. It shows how much I pay attention to the Xfinity field because I thought
yeah,
he was
so
still racing.
You need to do better about that.
Yeah, I do.
But they have not named the substitute for the next Xfinity race, which would be May 26th at Charlotte.
The team is what? GMS Racing?
Yes.
And it's owned by the guy who owns Legion Air. His yes. last name is Gallagher.
Yes.
Isn't that kind of interesting? That
all yeses.
Just kinda, yeah, kind of reminds me of like Paul Menard a little bit, yes. driving daddy's
yes.
car. Yeah.
Money makes the world go round.
It does. And I wish we had some of it. So if you feel like going to our website, wreckingandracing.com, feel free to donate so we can continue to do this awesome podcast. It's for you, our fans. Thank you. So moving on. You know, let's just say hell with Dover. We're over Dover. Let's talk about Kansas.
Yeah.
Picks. All right. Picks.
Okay.
Yeah. I went first last week. I'll let you go first this week.
All right. Did you go first last week?
You were nice and let me because you took my people the week before.
Okay. Well, I hope I don't pick or take them again
you
today.
Won't.
Actually, I hope I do. So my number one is going to be Truex this weekend.
Which is a very solid bet.
Solid pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
He has
solid pick.
Won the last two races at Kansas. Don't know if you knew that or not. Mm-hmm. My dark horse is going to be Mr. Ryan Blaney.
You son of a biscuit.
Take one.
Son of a biscuit.
I took Blaney from you?
Yes, you did.
Yes.
So my front runner would be Keselowski. And the reason why...
Why are you going with Keselowski?
Because I said a couple weeks ago that he was going to be the first one of those four to win a race. And I said it's going to happen at Kansas. So I'm sticking with that.
Oh, that's right. You did. Yes. I'm glad you brought that up because I would have completely forgot about it.
So Keselowski for the win. And he's not bad. He finished second, I think, or third, and then like 12th.
Where did he finish this week? Sixth? That's respectable.
He's right there.
He didn't make a lot of noise this weekend.
He's fifth in points.
But, yeah.
Him
I mean,
and Logano
he's
both
there.
I know Logano's
going
to win, but they're kind of both been quiet.
Yeah, Logano. Wait, Keselowski doesn't have a win.
No, I'm talking about Logano has a win.
Yeah,
I was about to say, him and those two have been pretty quiet. My dark horse was going to be Blaney. Now I got to strum through my mind and try to come up with somebody else. I'm going to say, Eric Jones.
Going to take my dark horse pick from last week. Okay. All right. Any particular reason?
Nope. Just it's a Toyota. Toyotas do well at Kansas, and he's a dark horse.
All
So there's no, I didn't look at stats fully this week on that race, so I'm just, other than the, my picks, the heck, I thought for sure you wouldn't have those picks.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know why I really picked Blaney. I just kind of did a shot in the dark, so.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I actually did research, and he looked like a very good, very good choice.
Yeah, you know. So, okay, well, that's all I've got. What about you?
Yeah, that's all I got. Kind of, we talked about points a little bit earlier. Top five, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, Brad Keselowski. The other Busch comes in at sixth. Ryan Blaney, seventh. That gives, basically gives Penske three in the top seven. Denny Hamlin, eighth. Truex, ninth. Larson, tenth. Eric Almirola still sitting in 11th, right outside the top ten. So, Stuart Haas is still represented quite well. We talked about Johnson at 12th, Bowman at 14th, Elliott 15th. Eric Jones, I did skip over him, and he is 13th. That's your top 15. Other notables, Ricky Stenhouse in that last spot at 16. He's actually surprised me this season. Maybe the biggest surprise to me overall is he's semi-consistent this year.
So it's just crazy to me, man. I'm just running down like while you were naming those off. So you got Gibbs first, Penske, Stuart Haas, Penske, Stuart Haas, Penske, Gibbs, and then Larson's 10th with Chip Ganassi. So, gosh, man, that's crazy. So you got 1, 2, 3. Gibbs has got 3, Stuart Haas has got 3, and Penske's got 3. That's crazy. So three organizations have 3 drivers, and then Chip Ganassi with Larson is the next and the first Chevy to be in the top 10. And then 11.
His teammate is like 23rd. Yeah, 23rd. Being Murray 23rd. Yeah,
no Hendrick. Hendrick closest would be Johnson in 12th. So it's just like, man, you can tell organizations are sharing their knowledge and spreading it between teammates. I don't know if I've seen so much consistency
amongst teammates.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
To start a season. Yeah.
And consistency amongst teammates. I know Hendrick's not in the top 10, but look at consistency. Where's the Hendrick's drivers?
Bad.
but I mean, they're all grouped together.
They are.
Johnson's
mid-pack. Yeah.
Right. Johnson's in 12th. Eric Jones, 13th. Or excuse me. Eric Jones is in 13th. He's not part of Hendrick. Eric Jones is in the middle of the Hendrick bunch. So you got Johnson at 12th, Bowman at 14th, Chase Elliott 15th, and not too far back is Byron at 18th. Byron did have a penalty too, right?
This week?
No, a couple weeks ago. Season. Yeah, so if you added points to Byron, he would be 15th. You add points to Elliott, he'd be 13th. So, I mean, that really
so
puts
really
them all.
So you really have all of Hendrick in the top, basically 11th or 15th or 16th, somewhere
so
around
they're
there.
Right. They're knocking on the door. They're right on the outside. But there's another thing of teammates being consistently there together.
And I do want to note, I said I grouped Truex in as being Gibbs. I see that as an alliance.
Yeah, it is. It
is. Not true Gibbs, but I know maybe there's some fans that are like, what the hell? He just said Truex, Gibbs. I put them together just because they're such a close alliance.
I think most of our fans know that there's an alliance there. They don't really hide it.
So, where's Hamlin at?
8th.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. And he's kind of like Keselowski. You haven't heard a whole lot from him, but he's consistent. He's there.
Unless you're talking about pit guns.
True. Hey, we didn't hear anything about that.
Hey, that's
2 weeks
in a row now. Since they switched to nitrogen mandated, we haven't heard anything about pit guns, have we?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
There's plenty of opportunities this week for mess-ups to happen. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Talladega was a little bit less than amount of pit stops, but this week was a lot more. So, very interesting. So, thanks for listening, folks. You know, it's been a great week. I actually enjoyed talking this week. It was really a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Good dialogue between me and Logs.
A little wacky, you know.
Yeah, and that's what we like to bring to the table. Definitely check us out at WreckingRacing.com. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. We really, really want to hear
from
you guys.
If we can find that NASCAR, that tour series
Cars
video,
tours,
if we can dig it up, a deleted version before they keep deleting it, we'll post that and maybe I'll put that poll up about Pop. And if you want to know the story about hot dogs, shoot us an email.
Hot dog and the Jägermeister.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. That's a funny story. Don't want to miss out on that.
But you got to email us or tweet us. So.
Yep. And, you know, folks, right now, at the release of this episode, we're pushing 400 downloads. Help us get to 500, please. If we get to 500, we're going to try to have a giveaway of some sort. Lugs doesn't know this yet because I haven't discussed it with him. But we'll come up with something for you, even if it's a hand-drawn picture of us or something. we'll come up with something and get it to you guys, okay? So again, 500 downloads. We'll try to come up with a giveaway on Facebook. Facebook, okay? Key,
you have
Facebook.
To, have to what, like or share? Or
you have to like and what? Share. Like and share. You know what? Let's throw a comment in there, too, just because we're badasses like that. So like, share, and comment. And when we hit 500 downloads, you'll see that on our Facebook page. Fans, thank you very much. Have a great week. And we'll talk soon.
Take care.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.